Chapter 8.
One of my favorite books in the Bible. I like it. Esther chapter 8. It's in this Bible, I know, I'm sure it is. Any day now. Goodness gracious. All right. I have to open my notes. I can't seem to remember what I'm supposed to say as well as I used to. Oh, I got to do that?
Yes, sir.
Is it good? So a lot of times, I've really been disappointed in Hollywood. They've made a couple of movies about the Book of Esther, and they are really bad. I would not waste my time. I mean, they made a bunch of them. I haven't seen them all, but the ones I have seen were so bad, it's just like they left out all the good stuff. You know, I'm going like,
that's right.
What a disappointment. It's such a good story. And it's not just a good story. It's not just a series of fortunate or unfortunate events that took place that's just that amazing. You know, wow, that really happened? You got to be kidding me. That's not what it is. It's the description of God's process in obtaining an expected end for his people. That's what it's about. And in chapter 8, we read this, starting about verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel. Now, remember what this context is. The Jews, there's been an irrevocable order given by the king, Ahasuerus. I think that might be how you say his name, right? So he's given this irrevocable order that the Jews are going to be destroyed. They're going to be killed. They're going to be robbed. You're going to have their stuff. I mean, this is going to happen. And this is the day that it's going to happen on. And so that's the context this was given in, all right? And then there's a deliverance from that. But this process that's described is the one for God's obtaining the expected end for his people. And in verse 15, we didn't read it yet. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold and with a garment, fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, wheresoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. This is what God wanted to do, and he talks about it and tells about it and explains it in Esther. That's a good story. You ought to read that. It's also a picture, I believe, of Christ. It's a chapter in the record that God gave of his son. And people talk about the types and stuff like that, and some say, nah, Steve, no. But I just believe that what we see here is a picture of what it's going to be like, just that hazy picture, one of those pictures from the Old Testament where we can vaguely see the victory, the overcoming Lord, our reigning King, Jesus Christ. But if you don't see it, that's okay. And in this process of God doing only what God can do and executing his perfect will, there is a girl named Esther, a little orphan girl. Her parents taken captive and carried off from Jerusalem into Babylon. And she just so happens, it just so happens, that this poor little girl, right, is made queen of this kingdom. Amazing, just incredible. And it just so happens that one day her adopted father, is that right? Is that a good term, adopted father?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Her adoptive father happened to be sitting in the gate, and he happens to overhear these two servants talking about killing the king. And so he tells about it, and they go ahead and they take him and hang him, and they happen to write it down. Now, nobody knows about it. I guess somebody did. They had to write it down. But it just so happened that One night, the king couldn't sleep. And so it just so happened that he asked for the history of the Chronicles to be brought and read. And it just so happened that out of all the books and volumes, that they happened to bring this one that had this story about what Mordecai did for the king. And it just so happened when they opened that book, they happened to tell about Mordecai. And it just so happened, well, you see what I'm getting at. Just so happened, my foot, this is God at work. This is his hand. Do you see it? And this story, look at chapter 4, has a verse in it that's touched my heart often. And I believe, although I can't prove it, but I do feel it, that this is about me. And in chapter 4, verse 14, it says, remember that there's this condemnation to fall upon the Jews, and they're going to be delivered by this little girl. And Mordecai is reasoning with her now. He says, you need to go tell the king what this bad man Haman has said and what he's going to do. We're in trouble, and we need your help. And she goes, well, I can't. I can't go before the king. He hadn't called me. If I go before the king and he hadn't called me, he's going to kill me, right? And this is how Mordecai responds to her. He says in verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, that is, if you don't go tell the king, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house should be dislodged. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? When he said that, I don't think he was just like speculating without reason. I mean, events have proven themselves over and over again in Mordecai's life and in this story that things were happening according to a plan. It was a plan. God was delivering his people. So you are here for a reason. And I think that pretty much marks my place, what I do, what we do as a family. We have retired to Warsaw. We're still there for a couple of years, maybe five or so, or at least the last two. We've been working at a church called International Christian Fellowship. And it's an international church. It's a strange place. What draws us together, first of all, is the English language, all right? Because we all want to speak to each other, you know, and understand what we're saying. And the second thing that draws us together, of course, is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can imagine that in this international church, where we have scores of different countries represented, Asia, Africa, the Middle East, Europe, the Americas, all kinds of different places. You can imagine the kind of place that is. There's all kinds of different people with cultural backgrounds and different expectations and different understandings. And it's exciting to get when you get and you sit around a Bible and say, well, what does God say? How do you understand this? And what do you think about what God says here? And we try to come to a common agreement on what God says. It is exciting. I talk to people and I have Bible studies. Here's what I do. I preach, I teach, I have Bible studies. I disciple new converts. I speak with them. I have a lot of my online Bible studies. Right now I have a Bible study with a guy in Finland. Right? I discipled him, and now he's teaching his own Bible studies in Finland. Right? Amen. Yeah. And so these kinds of, I've talked with guys in Tanzania. Oh, that's not right. It's Tanzania, I think they say it. Right, craziest thing I ever heard. Tanzania, right? So I'm just excited to be there. And I don't know how I got there. It's just like, I was an orphan, and the next thing you know, poof, I'm queen, you know? Whoa! I didn't even put in a resume, you know? I've been saved for 68 years. I've been serving God in San Antonio, Korea, Poland, for 43 out of those 68. Amen. I wish it had been more, but at least the last 43. For the last 19 years, I've been in Poland. And I have had, you know, we talked about we should aspire to be an ordinary Christian. And I understand what you're saying, and you're right. However, I have rubbed elbows and shoulders and talked over the Bible with some of the greatest men I think could possibly exist. They just love God. They love His Word. They are faithful to His Word. I think about my father, Lindell Baba. Whose church that I went to, you know. And as a little boy, I remember singing at Calvary. And I remember singing, what was that song? At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. That is a real memory. I want to thank this church for your prayers, support, and fellowship. Goodness gracious, it feels good to be home.
Amen.
I've also had the opportunity to speak with some special people. You know, I've talked to the president. I've witnessed to the president of a country. You know, I talked to the CEOs of international companies. With tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of employees. Who could ever thought? How did I get in that place? And they like me. I mean, it's not like they, when I've been on the streets and I haven't always got the same response, you know? And we do have an outreach ministry there. We hit the streets of Warsaw. Every week we're out there passing out those tracts. And I got faithful brothers and sisters that go with me. Thank you, Lord. Gosha, bless her heart, has got the Sunday school program there at the church. Any given weekend, she's got anywhere from 10 to 30 kids. And she's in charge of it all. She works hours on that. She can mold the way that they think and what their desires are. Amen. And she can make a tremendous difference. And Sarah has got a ministry also. She's a singer and a player. And she sings like a bird. Goodness gracious. It thrills my soul. God has been good to me. So good to me. And if you guys stop supporting me and stop praying, whatever you're doing for me, you stop it, still, I've got to say, God has been good to me. But on the other hand, don't stop. Thank you very much. And that's pretty much of an update on me, Gosha, and Sarah, and what we've been doing. Thank you.